My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning to speak about a topic which is very important for us to understand. And I think many Catholics do not fully understand, and that is the topic of indulgences. Now, this comes up this time of year because there are many wonderful indulgences we can gain for the poor souls during the month of November. But of course, there are indulgences that can be gained throughout the year. So begin with Canon Law 9:11 says, all the faithful should hold in high esteem indulgences or the remission of the temporal penalty due before God for sins which have already been blotted out as to their guilt. These indulgences are granted by ecclesiastical authority from the treasury of the church to living members by way of absolution and to deceased by way of suffrage. So there's a lot there in that canon to explain. First of all, we have to understand that when a person commits a sin, there are two things involved in the sin. One is a guilt of offending God, and the other is the need to restore the honor that has been taken away from God by sin, the dishonor that it gave to God. We call that the temporal punishment due to sin. And I would like to make a comparison with our civil society. If a person commits a crime, there's a penalty attached to the crime. And the person goes before a judge, and the judge determines the exact penalty, if it's time in prison, maybe community service, some other penalty, a fine. If the person expresses great sorrow and even apologizes to the victims in the courtroom and tells the judge, I'm so sorry I did that. I wish I could turn the clock back. I would not have done that. Does the judge say, oh, well, you're sorry, therefore you can leave. You have you're not going to have any jail time. No, he would not do that, because by committing that crime, the person harmed society and therefore has to make up to society for the harm done by the crime. So again, comparing that to sin, there's the guilt, which is forgiven through a good confession, but then there's the temporal punishment, which is the atonement that must be done because the sin detracted from, took away from God the honor that is due to him as our creator. So that's where indulgences come in, wiping away, blotting out the temporal punishment due to sin. Now, how can the church grant indulgences? It is what we call the power of the keys. Jesus said to St. Peter, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail, and to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. And so the Pope, successor of St. Peter, by granting an indulgence, is using that power of the keys to remit the temporal punishment due to sin. An indulgence is a remission of the temporal punishment due to sin that is drawn from the treasury of the church. So Jesus himself, as well as our Blessed Mother and the saints, performed good works, and they did not need the suffrages they gained, or all of them. Our Lord obviously did not. Our Blessed Mother was utterly sinless and had no need of atoning, and yet she performed so many good works, so many prayers. So those suffrages that they gained went into the treasury of the church. And when the church grants an indulgence, it's drawing from that treasury, the treasury of the church. There are three benefits that result when you pray or perform good works. First of all, there's what we call the meritorious value. So there's merit. You pray, you gain, through every prayer, every good work, you gain a higher place in heaven. That's merit or meritorious value. Also, through our prayers, we can obtain blessings, and that's called impetration. We would call that the impetratory power of prayer, its ability to earn graces. And then the third is called the satisfactory power, the ability of that prayer or good work to atone for the temporal punishment due to sin. So again, Our Lady, the saints, our Lord himself did not need the suffrages they gained, or with the saints, not all of them. So they go into the treasury of the church. And the church draws from that treasury and applies to our good works satisfaction that can atone for temporal punishment due to sin. Now, to gain an indulgence, there are several conditions. First of all, to gain any indulgence, one must be in the state of sanctifying grace. One must have at least the general intention to gain the indulgence, which is why it's a good thing in our morning offering to gain, to make the intention, I want to gain any indulgence as I can this day. Blessing yourself with holy water, reciting your prayers, you're gaining indulgences. So you make that intention in the morning, general intention. And then the third condition, of course, is to perform the work to which the indulgence is attached. And in case of prayer, we must move our lips when we say the prayer, unless it is a very short prayer like an ejaculation. So again, those are the three general conditions to gain any indulgence: to be in the state of grace, to have the intention, to perform the work. Now, Martin Luther, as you know, rejected indulgences, and that was one of his biggest complaints why he left the church. He rejected the notion of indulgences. And he even went on to say, granting indulgences is like giving people permission to commit sin. He called them a license to sin. So you can go and commit a sin, and then you can just gain an indulgence. And that's totally wrong. It's totally the opposite, because you can't even gain an indulgence unless you're already in the state of grace. The irony is that Martin Luther himself is the one who gave a license to commit sin by his wicked doctrine that faith alone saves. You can do anything you want. As long as you believe in Jesus, your sins are wiped out. You go straight to heaven after death. That's the license to sin. The terrible doctrines of Protestantism. Faith alone, and you know, there's no temporal punishment due to sin. There's no indulgences, etc. So we must be in the state of grace, have the intention, perform the work. If it is question of gaining a plenary indulgence, which grants a complete remission for all temporal punishment due to sin, then there are four additional conditions for gaining a plenary indulgence. One is confession and communion. The communion can be on the day itself, the day before, or within the week following. The confession can be within a week before or after, so a full period of 15 days to go to confession. And if one is accustomed to go to Holy Communion on a daily basis or at least 5 days a week, that person wouldn't even have to do the condition of the confession. So that's the first additional condition for a plenary, confession and communion. The second is a visit to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The third, and this is the hard one for some people, the third is true contrition for all one's sins. In other words, one could not have an attachment to a venial sin and gain a plenary indulgence. So if a person has a grudge against someone who has offended him and doesn't want to give up that grudge, that person could not gain a plenary indulgence. So one must have no affection for or attachment to any sin, any venial sin. And then finally, one must pray for the needs of Holy Mother Church. And it's usually an Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be as a minimum for each plenary indulgence. And people ask sometimes on, and like in prayer books, like in the Rakulta, it will say to pray Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be for the intentions of the Pope. Well, what is that? So let me read again from canon law. The intention of the Supreme Pontiff for which one is to pray, the intentions, are the exaltation of the church, propagation of the faith, ending of heresy and schism, conversion of sinners, peace and harmony among Christian rulers and nations, and other blessings for the welfare of Christianity. It suffices to have the general intention to pray for the intentions of the Pope or the church. So nobody's going to always remember all of those that I just listed. So you pray in Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, for the needs, the intentions of our Holy Mother, the Church, and then that satisfies that final condition. Now, during this month, we're trying to help the poor souls in purgatory, and I think of that book on purgatory by Father Shoup, a wonderful book on purgatory. And one of the things he says there when he's talking about indulgences He says, imagine that you go into a room in a house, and in the middle of the room, there is a table, and that table is just loaded with gold, jewelry, diamonds, all kinds of valuable things. And the owner of the house tells you, you can take whatever you want from that table. Go ahead, fill your pockets. You're welcome to take whatever you want. And the person would shrug his shoulders and say, no thanks, and walk out. You would think, that person must be crazy. Here, the owner is giving him whatever he wants to take of his treasures, and he's not taking advantage of that. And the author of the book on purgatory says that is like Catholics who fail to make an effort to gain indulgences. These are treasures. Now, you can't gain an indulgence for another living person. You can gain an indulgence for yourself and or for the souls in purgatory. And think about this. We release a soul from purgatory. That soul goes to heaven. You will have a saint in heaven who will forever be grateful to you and be indebted to you for getting him or her out of purgatory sooner by your gaining of indulgences. So it's something we should take advantage of. If you've ever read the book on Fatima, when Our Lady appeared to Lucia, Lucia asked Our Lady about two girls who lived in Fatima and had died in the recent months. Where is the soul of this girl and that girl? One of them was in heaven, and Our Lady said the other one is in purgatory and will be there until the end of time. Now, that was over 100 years ago in 1917. How much more time will the world last? So it is frightening to think about the temporal punishment, the amount of time in purgatory that many of the poor souls have in store. We can shorten it, and we can even completely cancel it out by the gaining of indulgences. So let us do all that we can to gain indulgences for ourselves, that we do not have to go to purgatory, and for the poor souls suffering there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.